Because you can handle the truth.
Standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming. Yeah, I kissed you then, and then once again, you said you would come and dance with me, dance with me.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, it is November 4th, Sunday 2018, and that means it's the first day of the time change. I think it's going back to regular time as opposed to daylight saving, but don't hold me to that. And we're going to click over here to the Facebook crew and say hello. Hi, Facebook, we're now live. And we're going to check out the chat room. There we go. The chat room says hello. All right. Today's topic is a doozy. So every now and then, someone asks me an unusual question. I say, now, let me look into that. And somebody asked me, about sexually transmitted diseases. I said, let me go check into that. How are they testing for that these days? I said, I'll bet there's something funny going on about that testing for sexually transmitted diseases. Sure enough, there was. So, as you know, there are constant technological advances. And these technological advances represent new technology applied to our everyday mundane problems. Now, they tell you, the public, that these technologies are, well, an improvement, an upgrade. And so what I'd like to do today is take a look at the situation as it pertains to sexually transmitted diseases. In particular, I'm going to look at gonorrhea. The reason to look at gonorrhea is because the new technology is being applied not only in that area, but being generalized to other areas. So we're going to look at gonorrhea as a prototype, as an example of what's being done in other areas of infectious disease. So we're going to take a look at what's gonorrhea. Why do you even care if you have it? And what are the tests? What are the implications of these tests? And how are these tests being applied in other fields? So let's start with, what's gonorrhea anyway? So gonorrhea is a disease that's believed to be sexually transmitted. And it's uncomfortable. So if you're a man or a woman and you have it, then you're going to have some icky, smelly discharge. It's going to be burning, uncomfortable. And the belief is if you have sex with another person, a new partner, then that partner might experience burning and discharge and be very unhappy with you. The other thing about gonorrhea is if you're pregnant and you have a baby with gonorrhea, then that baby might die. Well, actually, might get pneumonia and or might get a discharge in his eyes. Now, the discharge in the eyes can be easily remedied. First of all, you can see it and just put some drops in the eyes and boom, done. That's it. And pneumonia, that can be treated supposedly with antibiotics. I went and looked up the death rate from gonorrhea in all women in the United States between the ages of 14 and 44. That's the statistic. And the death rate is 1 in 1 million. So 1 in 1 million women in that age range can be expected to die of gonorrhea. The death rate for people under age 14 is unknown. Let's just say it's less than 1 in a million. So, in other words, the chances of a child born to a woman with gonorrhea, chances of that child dying, are less than 1 in a million. So just, it's good to know what the risks are and what we're talking about. Also, the believed incidence of gonorrhea is 3.5%. That's a number that the researchers have arrived at, and I'm not going to question that. But just for the sake of this episode, we're going to believe it. Yes, believe it. And so what we're talking about then is something that is likely going to affect, at most, 3.5, we'll call it 4, 4 out of 100 people that you might randomly decide to have sex with. So your chances of getting gonorrhea with any particular new partner would be about 3.5%. Call it 4% because math is easier with rounder numbers. All right. So I'm not the only one who worries about these tests. If we look at Medscape, that's the authority of medical information, they say diagnostic errors tops new list of patient safety concerns. What does that mean? It means a doctor told you you had something and you didn't really have it. Or you had something and, oops, he didn't diagnose it. And so, get this. Each year, 1 in 20 adults experiences a diagnostic error. Each year. So if you go to the doctor over a 20-year period, your chances of getting the wrong diagnosis are about 100%. You're going to have at least one wrong diagnosis, possibly more. And so today's topic might shed some light on these diagnostic errors. In other words, your doctor might be making diagnostic errors because the tests he's using to make the diagnosis are defective, or put it more precisely, unreliable. So your doctor might be using unreliable tests to arrive at erroneous diagnoses. Yes. So let's take a look at what testing is being used. So I looked up gonorrhea, and there's this new test called NAAT. Even the initials are a little concerning. But NAAT is the latest test. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends confirming positive screening tests for chlamydia, and again, another sexually transmitted disease, when positive predictive values are less than 90%. What is a predictive value? A predictive value is the chances that if the test says you have something, what's the chance that you really have it? And so what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says, well, if the test says you have chlamydia, or sexually transmitted disease, and you have it 90% of the time, then that's good enough. We're not going to worry about it. What about the 10% of people who were healthy, didn't have chlamydia or sexually transmitted disease, and were so labeled? That can be devastating. If you're engaged in a child custody battle, an accusation of maybe being adequate or good parents, if you're in a relationship and you're considering continuing the relationship and you find out that you or your partner has been labeled with chlamydia, and there's a 10% chance that that label is just bogus, like nonsense, like has nothing to do with your true health. All right. So at best, this is at best, the test that you're getting for sexually transmitted disease is erroneous and says you have disease when there's no disease at least 10% of the time. Okay. And again, the overall mortality rate from chlamydia and gonorrhea infections, add them both together, is less than 1 in 1,000,000. And they looked at women age 15 to 44. All right. And in some studies, positive NAAT test results could not be reproduced. And that means you do the test once on the specimen. It says, oh, my God, you've got gonorrhea. You repeat the test, and it says, you don't have gonorrhea. And so, in other words, the test is not reliable. All right. And so they have three NAAT tests. The names are not important. What is important is when they did these tests on a group of people, they found 850 positive results using one test, 927 positive results using another test, and 720 positive results using the third test. Yeah, you got that. So in other words, whether or not you have gonorrhea or sexually transmitted disease can depend entirely on the tests that you have, that you're given. Now, let's just say, what's the difference between the 927 and the 720? Well, the difference is 28.7%. So in other words, if you pick, or your doctor picks the more sensitive test, then your chances of getting diagnosed as having a sexually transmitted disease rise by 30%. Right. At least 30%. But it doesn't stop there. So the people who did this test said, or did this experiment, I know, let me tell you the names of the tests. So there's a BD test, the NAAC, or NAAT, excuse me, space BD version of the test, gives the least number of positives. The AC2 version of the test, I'm sorry, the ACT version of the test gives the greatest number of positives. So if you're going to get checked for STD, ask your doctor to do the BD version. And we're going to get to why. So there's a guideline. So the guideline is the CDC recommends that you confirm the testing of positive results when the positive predicted value is less than 90%. And this guideline exists because 30% of more specimens positive by NAATs will be negative by culture or enzyme immunoassay. Let's just translate this to English. So the culture only identifies the Neisseria gonorrhea, which is the version that's infected venereally. By the way, there's other varieties of Neisseria that are actually harmless and can exist in your body and not have anything to do with disease. The NAAT test detects those as well, by the way. Okay, so what's going on here is the culture measures only the Neisseria that, one, are of the disease-causing species, and two, viable or alive enough to reproduce. Right. So the NAAT test detects stuff that's there that doesn't cause disease, can't possibly cause disease, and the polite term is overdiagnoses the condition. But this gets even more interesting. And so the people doing this study say, well, based on our results, we would recommend the AC2 for initial screening results and the ACT for confirmation. So, in other words, you have the AC2, which is the middle ground. They're going to diagnose or overdiagnose at a rate of about 12%. And then use a test that overdiagnoses at the rate of 30% to confirm that test. In other words, you're going to get 100% confirmation, in which they said, yes, the confirmation rate is about 98%. And they said, this is good because this strategy would identify more infected individuals. English translation, this would label more people as infected. And of course, it creates a larger population eligible for treatment and a larger market for whatever drug is the drug of the day. So NAT stands for nucleic acid testing. That means it tests for genetic material that the gonorrhea is believed to contain. So if you happen to have genetic material from deceased, dead, or inactive gonorrhea, you're going to come up positive on the test. And then they add polymerase chain reaction technology. What's that mean? That means you only find one piece of DNA, and you have technology that multiplies that one piece to a million pieces, let's say, and then you measure those million pieces. Now, as you can see, there's a lot of slippage there, right? And we know that copy machines are not 100%. Now, this study was funded by GenProbe, the makers of the test, by the way. And it sells the laboratory test being evaluated. The study was so shaky, it had to be submitted twice. And it says, received August 4th, 2004, returned, means to the authors, for modification. They asked them to make some changes on October 7th, and then they accepted it on November 14th, the second review. What the first version was, we don't know. What the requested changes were, we don't know. But this is the type of information that doctors are making decisions on. Now, I just want to remind you of Koch's postulates, yes. And what did Koch say? Koch said, if you believe an organism causes a disease, you have to prove it scientifically. And the only way to prove it scientifically is to isolate the organism, show that the organism is able to reproduce, insert that organism into a healthy person, that healthy person gets the disease that you think the organism is capable of creating. And so conscious postures are totally violated by this testing method. First of all, the organism is not present in large enough quantities. How do we know? They had to amplify and multiply it. So flunk that. The organism is able to reproduce. They didn't even check that. Okay, flunk that. Organism was isolated. Nope, not isolated. Flunk that. So this is a test that defies or fails to satisfy any of the criteria for a scientific identification, one, of an organism, and two, evidence that organism causes disease. So when you go to your doctor for sexually transmitted disease, I can say, well, if I'm going to have a sex partner, I want that partner to get screened. And so the tests being used to screen basically are not reliable or valid, just putting that out there. And so what they're saying is, in addition, this is another study, and this one is at NIH, on the NIH site.gov. And it says 21 specimens were exclusively positive for chlamydia by NAAT, parenthesis, the detection rate is 150% more than compared with cell cultures. In other words, you literally increase the number of people labeled as diseased. So instead of having, say, 100 people identified as having disease, you've now identified 250 people as having disease. And the additional 150 people, the organism is not isolated, not cultured, cannot reproduce. And so there's no evidence that it did cause disease or could cause disease in the future. So this is important. And then what they say, so importantly, there are no specimens identified by culture that were not detected by this newfangled test, NAAT. And so the authors say, well, that's 100% specificity. In other words, The test identified 100% those that actually had disease. But wait, what about the other 150%? You can't identify more than 100% of anything, right? Because that's all there is. So the other 150%, let's say, that were identified had to be false positives. And you can't have it both ways. What is the gold standard? The culture or the NAAT? And if you use conscious postulates, the culture would have to be gold standard because the culture, one, isolates the organism, and two, identifies the organism as capable of reproducing and causing disease. So what they said now is they said, this is scientific studies, another study, can't make this stuff up. they said, well, we need two NAAT tests to be positive, and then that's the new gold standard. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why don't we just get a committee together and vote on who has an STD? So what they're saying now is, forget it. Throw it out the window. We don't need a gold standard. We don't need to check our test results. Let's just say if two tests agree, then, hey, good to go. Now, this is, it should be troubling to you by now because, you know, the tests for sexually transmitted diseases are used to determine in divorce proceedings, you know, was this guy really unfaithful or is she unfaithful? It used to determine, was this child molested by somebody? We don't know who. And in custody battles, all kinds of things, they're really important. And let's take a look at NAAT tests and how it's used. So there is this group of individuals, institutions, we'll call them hospitals. And hospitals have a problem, you probably heard about it. And the problem hospitals have is hospital-acquired infections. Well, the NAAT method of testing has been applied to hospital-acquired infections. Let's see how that worked out. So it says, however, numerous studies have raised concerns about the clinical importance or accuracy of positive results from Clostridium difficile, NAAT testing. Now, Clostridium difficile is not a sexually transmitted disease. It's a disease in the hospital. But a testing method used to detect infectious organisms can obviously be applied to many different organisms. And so they would have you, that's you, the public, believe that this testing for sexually transmitted diseases is accurate, not to be questioned and to be believed at all costs, on all occasions. But let's see what the hospitals say when NAAT is applied to them. They say, NAATs primarily detected a gene, and that gene encodes for toxin B, which is produced by Clostridium difficile. Are you getting me? So it doesn't even test for the organism, but a toxin the organism produces. All right, let's keep going. Some assays additionally detected the A toxin and the B toxin. Thus, like toxigenic culture, NAATs identify a strain in the stool that has the potential to produce toxin in the person's body. So in the laboratory, which is in vitro, they're identifying this organism that can produce poisons in the body, that's in vivo. So two large clinical research studies in the United States and the United Kingdom questioned the clinical importance of a positive test. So in other words, when they say question the significance, that means they question whether or not this positive test indicates infection with the organism. So when a patient also tests negative by toxin EIA, another test, because these patients have harmless clinical outcomes that are similar to those seen with patients that don't have clostridium. So alarm bells should be going off right now. So, in other words, people detected positive by NAAT but negative by culture have clinical outcomes similar to, call it identical, to those who don't have any infection at all. Right. So when we try and apply this to the hospital says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We need evidence. We are not going to have our marketing profile negatively affected and our income devastated by this NAAT test that doesn't even test for the organism and doesn't predict a disease outcome. But when you're checking for your gonorrhea, the NAAT is just fine. Just fine. They can destroy your relationship, confiscate your children over a test. That's of questionable importance, yes. But it goes further. Furthermore, several studies have demonstrated the high rate of NAAT positivity in patients without diarrhea. Diarrhea is the symptom of clostridium, including hospitalized children and adults, as well as children with cancer. So the kid has cancer, boom, he's going to get a positive NAAT test. In addition, even among patients with diarrhea, a high proportion test positive by NAAT who have a likely alternative diarrheal source, such as recent laxative use or a viral illness. So let's translate this into a gonorrhea situation. So if a lady has burning when she pees, she's got discharge, it could be the chemicals in her toilet paper, right? But an NAAT test is going to show that she has gonorrhea, which had nothing to do with her symptoms, and doesn't require a alteration, let's say, of her relationship, put it that way. With recent incorporation of multiplex PCR panels that can detect several gastrointestinal pathogens with a single test, C. difficile, which is a deadly organism, by the way, that's generally hospital acquired or induced by antibiotic use, has become the most common organism that is detected with other pathogens. So in other words, now, because NAAT is an easy and expensive test to do, they say, oh, let's do a panel. Let's check for 10 different organisms at the same time. So people in a hospital setting who get this panel are testing positive for C. difficile, a deadly organism, when there's nothing wrong with them and they're actually very healthy. And so, let's, again, the English translation here, when a test damages and labels the patient and destroys their life and their relationships, no problem, except it is accurate. But when the same test ruins the reputation of a hospital and could adversely affect business, let's not accept the test result as accurate. So this technology is being questioned. It's the same technology that's used for HIV and now other sexually transmitted diseases. If it's erroneous and unreliable for one application, wouldn't it also be bogus for the other applications? So, what if the gonorrhea detected are dead and the person is not infectious? In other words, the person may have some gonorrhea-type organisms in their body, but these organisms are deceased, not capable of disease, the person has no symptoms, and their future sex partners are not going to have any symptoms either. When we come back, we'll talk more about this and get to the bottom of it.
You You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking about this NAAT test, which is all the rage and being used for sexually transmitted diseases. So this is the test that your doctor is going to be using or is using. And so it is one that has the ability to totally devastate your relationships and your life on just so many levels. And so there's no allowance for the fact that the DNA fragments tested for by the NAAT may belong to a species of Neisseria that is not the gonorrhea type. And there's also no allowance being made that the gonorrhea detected may not be infectious and may not be able to cause disease. And so just by changing a test from culture to NAAT, more than 2 times the people are diagnosed with this affliction and more than twice as many medications are sold. Now, the problem here is even magnified. So let's take a look at another government study. And this is, again, National Institutes of Health. .gov site. I should plaster this right here on Facebook. Yep. This is a link to the study, and I'll tell you the English translation of the study. So the English translation is, well, let's give you the what the study says. The NAATs for Neisseria gonorrhea have not proved as robust, that means reliable, as those for chlamydia. And at least in the United Kingdom, they're using them less often. So if the test isn't accurate, why use it at all? I'm just saying. So sensitivity, that means it says, yes, you have the disease when you actually have it. And specificity, it means it says, no, you don't have it when you actually don't have it. Of available licensed tests are high, except with urine and except from women. But in low prevalence populations, that means in a population where very few people have the disease, the positive predictive value may still be unacceptably low. What's a positive predictive value? That means when the test says yes, what's the percent that you actually have the disease? And so the English translation is you can have a population with a 0% of this disease, and administer the test, you will still get positives. The test will randomly designate people, healthy people, as having disease. So let's give you a more deeper English translation. Is the test is a random number generator and produces a certain number of positive results whether or not disease exists. And this randomly labeling healthy people as having gonorrhea is a problem. So this random labeling is acceptable in populations where the prevalence of disease is believed to be high. Read social groups the government doesn't like prison populations, for example. You can add whatever group you want to that. This is a compelling reason to refuse STD testing if you are pregnant, or at least not to take the medications if you are diagnosed as having an STD during pregnancy, or in any case, based on a screening test and you have no symptoms, because it will cause you or your unborn baby to be unnecessarily exposed to some pretty dangerous drugs. And the death rate from antibiotics is much higher than 1 in 1,000,000, which is a death rate from gonorrhea. And they have this complicated table. Bottom line is, in a population that has a low incidence of disease, the positive predictive value can be as low as 50%. Yes, 50%. That is shocking. And so the people writing this study say, the reporting of a false positive result should be avoided. And therefore, any positive gonorrheal NAAT test result should be confirmed. In other words, they're saying you cannot believe any positive NAAT result. Now, how do you confirm an NAAT result? They give you some guidelines here, but 7 guidelines. Let's review these guidelines and see if we can't translate them into English. First, all positive tests must be repeated with a supplementary test. English in translation, the test is not reliable. Positive results should be confirmed by culture. What does that mean? It means the repeat NAAT test cannot be relied on. Rectal, that means anus. Pharyngeal, it means throat, specimens should be cultured. That means, English translation, NAAT test is not reliable for rectal specimens or for throat specimens. Next, NAAT test should be validated in different populations before use. What does that mean? That means that you can't just take an NAAT test and start using it on a group of people, because it might just be randomly labeling people as having diseases. And so they're saying you need to maybe first test this population, a random sample using a culture, and then compare the culture results to NAAT results. NAATs should not be used in children. But wait. If it shouldn't be used in children, because obviously if a child shows up with a gonorrhea test as positive, you're presuming the child was sexually abused, right? And the implications of that are far-reaching and substantial. So what they're saying is NAAT tests should not be used if anything serious is on the line, as in children. So imagine the false diagnosis of STDs in children, and child protective services will have a field day removing kids from their homes based on false positive tests. So if it shouldn't be used in children, who of course would be removed from their homes, why should it be used on adults where you can destroy a relationship and an adult is going to be removed from the home one way or another? And then it says, keep a representative population of gonorrhea isolates for antimicrobial susceptibility testing. That doesn't even make any sense. So what they're saying is if the NAAT is positive, it tells you the gonorrhea is there, but doesn't even tell you if the antibiotics are going to be effective. So this is pretty shocking that when you go to your doctor for a sexually transmitted disease test, it is as scientific and as valid as a village putting a priest in the center and having the villagers form a circle around the priest, and the priest points and says, you and you and you have disease. So this method is no more valid than an outdated, unscientific, arbitrary ritual that many of us would just laugh at. But it's exactly the same thing going on. So let's take a look at what the healthcare people are saying, the hospitals, and using this test to detect infection in hospitals. Mm. So what they're saying is, and this is, we're just picking up in the middle of this sentence here, in contrast, there is no significant reduction in the prevalence of pneumonia or Clostridium difficile infections, nor in the percentage of patients with healthcare-associated infection who died during their hospitalization, which suggests that more work is needed to prevent these infection types and reduce death among patients with healthcare-associated infections. So although the prevalence of Clostridium difficile, C. diff is another word, was largely unchanged between 2011 and 2015, the researchers say an increased use of NAAT tests for diagnosis may have masked an actual reduction in the prevalence of C. diff infection. And so when we're looking at healthcare institutions, they can quickly say, oh, that NAAT test was not accurate. Oh, it just reflects poorly on us. So nevertheless, there's room for improvement because the use of antibiotics is a major driver of C. diff infections, as well as antimicrobial resistance, and continued focus on improving practices for the prescribing of antibiotics is critical in addition to infection control measures to prevent transmission in hospitals, the researchers write. Now, this is another paragraph that's very telling. The researchers surveyed 11,000 patients in 183 hospitals in 2001 and 12,000 patients in 199 hospitals in 2015, and here's the kicker, applying the same definitions of hospital-acquired infections to both surveys. Why would they have to say that? The reason they have to say that is because hospitals have changed their definition of hospital-acquired infections, and that has largely been the reason that hospital-acquired infections have decreased. And so they're saying, in our study, we at least use the same definition for both parts of the study. So the moral of the story is, just because it's scientifically proven does not mean it's accurate. And the test that your doctor is using to indicate disease may actually not indicate disease at all. So disease is a condition of ill health that leads to discomfort or premature death. Pretty straightforward. And so now what's happening in the area of STDs and in many other areas is they are abandoning the culture, which is a test that shows the organism is present and shows that it's capable of demonstrating disease for a DNA test that does not indicate the presence of the organism and does not indicate its ability to create disease. And so what it does then is it creates a larger population of people who not only are subject to unnecessary medication use, if it was just that, that would be like too simple, but indicates a large population in need of government supervision subject to government regulation. There we go. So there's the STD story in terms of testing. So the test for sexually transmitted diseases that's now being used, NAAT, is no more valid than a witch doctor randomly pointing his finger at people. The difference, of course, is that people are being paid to have the finger pointed at them. It's a big industry in terms of testing. And people have agreed to allow the government to have increased authority over people who test positive for these sexually transmitted diseases. And people have decided to make decisions about their personal life based on these disease tests. And so now you have a pagan ritual with no scientific basis or accuracy being used by people to make some pretty substantial life decisions. So what's a person to do? Number one, don't submit to any screening tests for sexually transmitted diseases. The positive predictive value is anywhere from, at best, 90%. In other words, 10% chance that the disease they say you have, you don't have. To as low as 30%. In other words, if you're pregnant and you get screened for sexually transmitted disease, in terms of positive, the chance you actually have the disease or have a condition that would endanger your child or your spouse is at best 30% and probably close to zero. So, really shocking. So, number one, don't submit to any STD screening test, number one. Number two, if you feel good, chances are you are good. And three, if you do have symptoms and you get a sexually transmitted disease test, insist on a confirmatory culture. In other words, insist they identify the organism and that it's established the organism can actually reproduce. Just because you have burning in your genital area and a discharge does not mean you have a sexually transmitted disease. Again, in my medical practice, I was floored to discover that most likely the culprit was the toilet paper. Now, back in the old days, this is the 90s, we only used the culture to determine or detect sexually transmitted diseases. So all these people, women, were coming in with these vaginal symptoms, and their cultures were negative, which led to the next step, which was personal care products and the incrimination of the toilet paper. And with women changing their toilet paper, we honestly had a 100% cure rate. It was really shocking. All right, so that is it for today's today's presentation. I'd like to remind people to go to vitalitycapsules.com and please visit our sponsor, vitalitycapsules.com, and get your Vitality Capsules today. Vitality Capsules improve your circulation so more toxins get to the liver. It increases your bile flow, so toxins get from the liver to the small intestine, and increases your intestinal motility, so those toxins get from your intestines to the toilet. And this is a unique feature of Vitality Capsules that other cleansers just don't have. So give it a try. All right. There are lots of interesting questions. So Peggy says, are vinegar baths good if you have vaginal infection? The answer is no, because the vinegar baths don't get up high enough. So you're better off to douche with a solution of 1 quart warm distilled water, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. Make your own solution. Don't buy it from the store because that has benzene in it and will give you ovarian cancer. So instead, what you want to do is make your own little solution and douche with that. All right. Okay. Kimberly says, Dr. Downs, what is the smallest amount of food I can eat with Vitality capsules as I am trying to diet and lose weight? The smallest amount... we have our commercial coming. Can't you see I'm burning? Oh, doctor, is this love I'm feeling? Gips at night.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are handling questions. So we're in the middle of a question when we went to commercial, so we'll pick up from that. And the question was, what is the smallest meal you can take with Vitality capsules? The answer is about 4 bites. So if you have 4 bites of food, that usually does it. So take 2 bites of food, swallow them, take your Vitality capsules, and take 2 more bites of food. That would be the way to do it. And someone else asks, They said, okay, take Vitality capsules every day. The answer is, yes, it is. It is the intestinal cleanser that is safe for everyday use. Okay. So Aletha says, I watched a video that said gingivitis was caused by spirochetes and showed it on a slide from someone's mouth with a microscope. Does this mean the gingivitis is also syphilis? Yipper, that is a spirochete. Can spirochetes cause other diseases besides STDs? Absolutely, you got it. So since the major source of spirochetes in the United States is vaccination, then pretty much most Americans have these spirochetes. And similarly, you can have gingivitis by other organisms besides spirochetes. It can be caused by bacteria as well. So either way, the solution is the same. Increase your dental hygiene. And increase your intake of connective tissue to repair the gingiva. Okay, so Angel says, I have osteoarthritis and will need hip replacement. Really? If you believe that you're going to need it, you're going to need it. And if you got insurance, you'll definitely get it. However, you can, instead of getting your hip replaced or rushing into that, you can try some chicken feet and see how that goes. Okay. Shahala says, I'm only 36 and my hair is turning gray. How do I reverse this? So when I was 32, my hair started turning gray. It was terrible. It was embarrassing. But I looked very young. I looked like I was 18. So I felt like, all right, I'll take the gray hair. It'll make me look more dignified as a doctor. But then my patients started ridiculing me and laughing and pointing at me and saying, hey, doctor's hair is turning gray. And I said, that's it. I'm not going to put up with this. And so I took the Girovita GH3 original formula, and my hair turned black. It was amazing. Every last gray hair went away. And I knew this because my preferred hairstyle was to shave my head. So I shaved my head once a month, and I got to where I could shave my head and not a single gray hair in the pile. Okay. So Nicole says, I wake up with left hip pain, sleeping mostly on my left side. Besides stretching, is there anything else I can do? Yes. Definitely need to get some Vitality capsules, move out the waste that's settling in your hip, and then you can put turpentine on that hip before you go to bed. I used to have the same problem. Now I wake up sleeping on my bad hip and it feels great. Okay, we are going to commercial and we'll be back.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. We can feel the motion.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN.